Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Laura Canfield Show. Thank you so much for being here. And today we have with us my good friend Brian Rawls is back with us today. And we're talking about the magic of Samhain and ancestor veneration. I was practicing saying Samhain and I almost forgot. So what is Samhain, right? And what's the history behind it? So we're going to talk about the veil thinning and ancestor veneration, what that is and how to do it. We'll also be talking about awakening the ancestors and connection to the other side. And we're going to do some, talk about some rituals and of Samhain, and Brian's going to do some activations. So, you know, we're going to talk, you know, a lot about what Samhain is and what to do around this time, as well as the energies about that are happening around this time. They're really extreme right now, especially. So for those of you who don't know Brian, I'll just tell you a little bit about him. Brian's been on our show many times, you know, always so much fun, always so much information. And the energy is always really high. So the activations are always amazing. And Brian goes above and beyond and gives way more information and way more goodies than we expect. So it's always wonderful to have him back. So Brian is an 8th generation psychic medium, a certified Reiki master teacher, and an extraterrestrial channel and light language linguist, an angelic facilitator and communicator, an embodied Atlantean hierophant and magi, and a witch. He has over 18 years of experience in helping people understand their divinity and grounding them into their body. He also activates their ancient divine wisdom that's stored within their DNA to enable them to become their highest potential with great ease and clarity. And Brian communicates with their galactic soul families of light, allowing for their divine wisdom to be shown that there is no impossibilities to their divine potential. And anything is possible if you just have the belief within yourself that it is possible. So I'm so glad that Brian is here, and I'm so glad that all of you are here. I know it's been a while. I took a little break while I was traveling in North America, but we are back and we'll be doing live shows Tuesdays and Thursdays. So, you know, check back often and see what's happening. So Brian, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Lara, for having me. And how is everyone doing? And how was your trip?
It was amazing. It was awesome. I was spoiled for 2 whole months. It was really nice. I had a great time. You know, and you think 2 months is a lot of time. You can get so much stuff done. No, I didn't. You know, all the stuff that I planned to do didn't get done. But, I still had a great time. And my parents really appreciated me being there, my kids and family and friends. It was really nice. It was really good. It was much needed for everybody. So it was good. So, you know, when I was looking at the description for Samhain and about the ancestor veneration, it's like, oh, this is going to be interesting, because even in my Hindu culture, we just finished a period of 13 days when your focus is on your ancestors and connecting with your ancestors, saying prayers for your ancestors, and, you know, doing all sorts of rituals for your ancestors. So it's like, it's interesting that this is happening at, you know, around the same time. Is it interesting, or is it just like, mm-hmm. It just is?
Yeah, I find that a lot of religions and spiritualities, they reflect each other. And because it's ultimately, one way is always, and there's not just one particular way to connect to the ancestors. There's just not one particular way to connect to your higher power. Mm-hmm. And we just have different belief systems and different spiritualities due to what may work for one person may not always work for another. And that's one of the one of my favorite quotes that my grandmother used to tell me all the time, that what may work for one person may not always work for another. Mm-hmm. So I tried to take my grandmother's wisdom into my practice and teach it to other people, because she was a big influence in my life, and brought about the knowledge of our ancestral lineage and our ancestral heritage. But yes, Samhain is one of the fabulous holidays that I can't wait for every single year. And actually, it is the Witch's New Year. Mm-hmm. And with it being the Witch's New Year, basically there's a lot of there's a lot of different things that we do during this time to
And did we just lose Brian? He'll be back. Maybe he'll be back. So I didn't realize, or maybe I did, about it's the Witch's New Year, and how interesting that is for all of us who may be, you know, on the spiritual path, maybe a little bit intuitive, and, you know, and that may be bringing up a few things for people right now, you know, maybe new insights.
Yes. And I do understand that we are having a little bit of connection difficulties, so please forgive me if I pop in and out, and it could very well be my guides, because when my guides get to share their energy and their knowledge with you all, they get kind of excited and mess the connection up quite well. So I know I actually had some difficulties on my radio show last night. So I apologize beforehand, but yes, it's the Samhain is a turning point for the new year, and is also what the Celtics call the new year, or New Year's Eve, and is basically sometimes referred to as the Feast of the Dead, or the Feast of the Apples, or Ancestors' Night, and mm-hmm. Basically the one night of the year, where the veil is at its thinnest, and the ancestors are able to come back and sit amongst the living, and basically allow for them to bless the living in many different ways. And I personally do what is called the Dumb Supper, and that is basically where we cook our ancestors' favorite meal, and then we set a place at the dinner or at the dinner table in remembrance of them, mm-hmm. and we let them eat before we eat, and it's just a and understanding that the ancestors, they greatly affect our lives here in the living. And yes, very much like Dia de los Muertos, that is what the Day of the Dead is, and which is actually November 1st. And there's actually a very cute movie I think it's produced by Disney about the Day of the Dead, and I can't remember exactly what it's called.
Mm-hmm. I just watched it a couple of months ago when I was in the U.S. I don't know what it's called either, but it's a cartoon movie, right?
Yes, it's very cute, and it's about there's a little skeleton dude in there, mm-hmm. But it's very interesting how, as I said before, that different religions reflect each other. But we also call this festival known as All Saints, or All Souls, or All Hallows Eve. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And with basically that, it comes into the understanding that we celebrate this time to celebrate our ancestors. And ancestor veneration is something that that I do every single day. If you can't see already, I do have my ancestor altar behind me. Mm-hmm. And my ancestor altar is the second altar that gets lit every single day. And normally I try to have that particular altar behind me because my ancestors watch over me, not watch me. They watch over me. So they, it's kind of like a comforting feeling for me and allowing for them to be fully present in my work, be fully present in my life. And after basically I call in my gatekeeper or my gatekeeper spirit, then I go directly to my ancestor altar. I light that white candle. I give my glass of water. Mm-hmm. And then I also possibly give them some liqueur or some favorite drinks that they liked when they were alive. I light a cigarette for my grandfather. I light, I give my grandmother a Diet Dr. Pepper. Mm-hmm. I give my grandfather a beer because he was a beer drinker. And then I also work with a spirit pot, which is I can actually show you. It is this pot right here that I have actually all of my ancestors' graveyard dirt in. And I get probably about a cup each of everybody's graveyard dirt. And I always have this charm in there, which this is an ancestor charm, and it actually has some wax connected to it. But I burn white candles on top of the dirt, and I usually take a little bit of dirt and I sprinkle it over the top of my head to basically bring blessings to me. And then also I use what is called Joss papers or ancestor money, or better known as ancestor money, where it's kind of looks like a big, large $100 bill, $1,000 bill, $5,000 bill, or a $500 bill, and I burn it. And what happens is we believe that that over there, it's the energy of the money, not mm-hmm. paper money, mm-hmm. Because they obviously need sustenance and energies to basically work and or not necessarily work, because there's really no types of jobs over there except for what it is that like guide work and teaching work and whatnot. And these particular Joss papers are, I usually write my wish or what I need on the Joss paper. Mm-hmm. And then I fold it up and I burn it in the white candle that is sitting in my spirit pot. And then I also have my aunts and uncles pictures hanging up on the wall along with my grandmother and their memorial papers. And then also I have my grandmother's seamstress scissors because she was a seamstress by day and a medium by night. Mm-hmm. And then I also I also have my the cremation remains from my dead animals that that I've actually had cremated for me. And basically these are momentums for me to remember them by, to bring a bring a spiritual rapport for them to pierce through the veil and really make themselves known in this experience that I'm walking each and every day for myself and as well as for other people. So it's really about honoring the dead and along with winter preparations and divination. We do a lot of divination or divinatory practices during Samhain, such as like scrying in water, casting of the bones, the crystal ball, which obviously my lovely crystal ball. This is a very powerful crystal ball. It was actually one of my grandmother's. And she, it gets blessed in each and every full moon. And then obviously the tarot gets thrown as well. And then there's just many different divinatory practices that we use during Samhain. And also ritual means such as like calling the quarters, calling in the watchers, basically calling in our spirit guides and our power animals to invite the ancestors in. And it's just a very it's a very powerful way of honoring those that have came before us and those that will also come after us, because we are very firm believers in reincarnation.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So there's a question from Natalie, and I had the same question actually. So how do you handle those items after your ritual is complete, like the soda, the and the beer, the cigarette, all those things?
Well,
I don't think you actually drink it or anything.
Well, what they are is I use them as libations. Like, say, for instance, with the cigarette ashes, mm-hmm. I will take the ashes and I will throw them to the wind. And with the soda and the beer, I will pour them. I'll usually bottle them up and take them to their grave. And I will pour them in their grave. And or I will actually go to have a rose garden that I name particular roses after my ancestors, as well as also after the people that have passed. And when I go to basically go harvest rose petals and harvest rose buds, I will pour the spiritual libations there to basically honor and to empower the items that I receive.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you. And you mentioned, the watchers and you mentioned the quarters. What are the quarters?
The quarters are basically the north, south, east, and west. And like being earth, south being fire, east being air. You're welcome, Natalie. Water being west, and then also the watchers are the guardians that stand at those particular directional points. Mm-hmm. And basically those watchers are elemental watchers such as like Gob, Nyxa, the salamander, and the sylphs, and then also the guardians would be like the spirit guides and the power animals. I actually have a pack of wolves that hang out with me, and actually my grandmother had a pack of bears that hung out with her, so they're very much They're very much a loving, respectful way of bringing in the elements and the watchers, because it's a very focused way of basically honoring the fact that the year's ending and we're getting ready to approach winter. And well, winter for the northern hemisphere, and summer for the southern hemisphere. Mm-hmm. So it's basically, and we call these in the northern hemisphere the harder months, the months that that are cold, the months that are there's a lot of cozying up by the fire, staying in, not doing much labor. And this is basically a time where the men go out and chop the wood, and also they also go to the meat houses and whatnot, and do the hunting and stuff like that, or to do the to get the meat. And there's all parts played in this, and it's also saying goodbye to the sun and hello to the Frost Queen and the Frost King. So it's almost like a story ending and a story beginning.
Right. Awesome. Cool. Thank you. And yeah. Sunny was asking about the fairies. She says she has a feeling that the fairies are very playful around this time, not just the ancestors. What do you think?
Yes, the fairies are very playful during this time because actually it is midsummer and Samhain when the fairies are most prone to come out and play. Yeah. And that is due to the axis and the axitonal points within Earth, and these particular ley lines, they are actually very very open and very accessible to us for communication, for helping us with weather divination, stuff like that, as well as also allowing for like say, for instance, if we're having difficulties with the last harvest, we call upon the fairies to help us with the last harvest, because this is the month where we do the very last harvest, and there are times when the cold comes early, and then when the cold comes early, we have to get to that rushing point where we have to make sure that we go ahead and get things taken care of and done before things go bad. Mm-hmm. So
basically, celebrating the harvest is, you know, it's like a celebration of the end of summer and then beginning of winter, and stocking up and storing up and getting ready, the preparation, right?
Uh-huh. Just like how you see the animals go to gather nuts and food and herbs to take back into their dens, or take back up into a tree, or take back up into the places or their habitats where they live, and they have to stock up so they do not run out. And that's similar to what we do as well.
Right. And so right now, you know, yesterday was the full moon in Taurus, right? Mm-hmm. And I know that you did a transmission yesterday, which we are going to offer as a gift to everyone. It'll be in your email, so check your email. But can you talk a little bit about that as well, about the full moon in Taurus and about the change that's happening now? And you know, connected to Samhain and, you know, the change of seasons, or?
Well, there are there are different aspects that happen at different times of the year, but what is happening currently with the Taurus full moon is that the Taurus full moon is actually affecting two particular areas or two particular sectors within our lives, and that is relationships and love, and then also finances. So obviously a lot of folks are having financial issues because one, you're getting ready to have the holidays come up, and two, a lot of folks are going into that survival mode because a lot of people, there's not a lot of traffic during winter. There's not a lot of energy of movement during winter. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people are in that scarce mode of we're going to run out, or this, that, and the other is going to happen. No, not necessarily, not in in today's society, but in different means, the Taurus full moon is deeply affecting those particular sectors, as well as also star seeds and star seeded energy. We are actually corresponding with three particular galaxies. The Andromedan galaxy, the Triangulum galaxy, and the Mirachus ghost galaxy. Those three particular galaxies are beaming intense energies into our crown chakras and opening up our 12, 22, 24, and 48 different strands of our DNA. Some of us are type 1, some of us are type 2, and some of us are type 3 indigos that that correspond with these different understandings of how the DNA body works. And when that begins to happen, and when it begins to totally activate certain areas of our DNA, we become either one of two things. We become that invincible feeling, mm-hmm. or two, that survival feeling of we got to do this to prepare, or we got to do, or I'm on top of the world, nothing's going to harm me type feeling. So it's very much an upgrade to the human genome, as well as also a upgrade to the star-seeded DNA. And then also in November, we have the Pleiadian lineup, which happens in November 15th through November 22nd. Mm-hmm. And that is when the Pleiadians come back and check on their experiments. So there's a lot of things that happen during the autumn and winter months, mm-hmm. and this is by far my favorite time of the year, and just for that, because I'm definitely starseed and definitely witch by heart, mm-hmm. And I'm not using the word witch out of context. I'm definitely using it properly, because if folks know me, I can be that witch, and I very much can definitely be understood as the starseed. But yes, during the Samhain energies, we create what is called an altar. Obviously, we have the ancestor altar, but we also have a Samhain altar, which the Samhain altar is decorated with appropriate things such as small pumpkins, branches, flowers, such as marigolds or chrysanthemums, mm-hmm. Nuts, apples, or other fruit, and candles both on the altar and around the circle, and which can be white, orange, and black, obviously. Halloween colors. Mm-hmm. But and do understand when I say black candles, that black candles doesn't necessarily mean evil work, because a lot of people think that when a witch or when a person speaks about black candles, they always think about hexing work. No, it's totally the opposite, because black reflects all the colors. All right, it's just a umbrella term for the energy of reflection, and so.
Interesting. I mean, I don't really know a lot about witchcraft and witches, to be honest. And I'm just, you know, the thought came to me while we were having this conversation that, you know, is it possible that sometimes when you are, I don't know, resistant to certain things, you might actually have a capacity in it? We'll have to ask Brian when he comes back. And so Natalie's asking, are there meanings attached to each altar item that creates metaphoric importance or power? Sorry.
Hello.
Yes, there you are.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. You know, when that happens, I can always fill up the space with something, right? I was just saying that, is it possible that sometimes when you are resisting something, that you might actually have a capacity in it?
Yes, very much so. When resistance comes with resisting, like feeling of or being afraid of magic or witchcraft or Wicca, because a lot of people are at times afraid of it, because they weren't brought into it or brought up into it like I was. Yeah. And I mean, I was presented to witchcraft at a very young age. And I was actually Wiccaned at the age of 3. And Wiccaning is similar to a christening. Mm-hmm. And it's basically just asking, like the Christians asked for Lord Jesus to basically watch over their child. In witchcraft, we ask for the goddess to look over our child. So it's a focus of basically self-empowerment and self-realization and self-actualization as well, because knowing that us as beings and us as with the umbrella term witch, all that means basically is a wise person or a wise woman or a wise man. Mm-hmm. I don't really like the word warlock, because warlock is basically an oath breaker, all right, or a word for an oath breaker. So and warlock is so old, old school, and just gives us male witches a bad name. So we like to use just witch.
Witch. Awesome. Thank you. So Natalie is asking, are there any meanings attached to each of the altar items that creates a metaphoric importance or power?
Yes. Like the pentacle. The pentacle is the main thing on the altar, which basically allows for the interconnectedness of the quarters, which would be north, south, east, and west. And basically the pentacle is the five-pointed star. And the five-pointed star is basically, you got north, or you got the point of the point of the star being spirit, and then you got the four other points being north, south, east, and west. But with the pentacle being pointed upright, that means that we put spirit first. We put ourself first, all right? Because our higher self or our higher power is actually within us, because we embody the divine feminine and the divine masculine.
Okay, ooh, awesome.
We have questions.
Yeah, I know, right? So I'm just gonna ask really quickly about Lisa's question here. She's asking about building an altar with the intent to connect with your ancestors or star family. Is that helpful?
Yes.
Yes.
Very much also, very much helpful because, and remember, intention is spell work, okay? And the simple use of words or the words of power is what witches cast, is spells.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Words, they have power, and the human language wasn't just taught as a communication form. It was taught to manifest. It was taught to manifest in wisdom and energy into our focus, and it allows us to be basically focused on a particular almost like a what, when, how, and where type of feeling. That intention of building an ancestor altar would be simply the simple ancestor altar is the glass of water, the pictures of your ancestors, and the white candle, and then you can have white flowers and a white altar cloth, and that's just basically as far as you, that's a simple ancestor altar. I mean, you can get very elaborate, but I will tell you, if you go to make you a spirit pot like I have, you better make sure that you care for that spirit pot, because it's just like caring for a baby.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you. Yeah. And you know, it's interesting how we were going to have this conversation today, and when I was taking a nap earlier in the afternoon, I had a dream about my grandmother, you know, and it's like, I haven't seen her in a long time. And I remember thinking, I haven't seen her in a long time. You know, I wasn't thinking that recently, but it's like, it's just interesting that she would come through today when we're having this conversation.
And that right there is a, is basically a message from your grandmother, basically, understanding that that you just had those or in the Hindu religion y'all had that 13 days of of ancestor worship. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember what it's called, but I know
Shraad. It's called Shraad.
There you go. Yeah, Shraad.
Yeah.
yeah, because see, that's what my husband practices, is Hinduism.
Mm-hmm.
And I practice my witchcraft. It's in my blood.
Yeah. No, it's all good. It was just interesting that, you know, it's not a coincidence, you know, things happen on purpose, right?
Exactly.
So Lisa's asking also about seeing a hawk. She said, also, would seeing a hawk often and then multiple hawks circling above you be a sign of ancestors communicating?
Very much so, because the I wouldn't doubt it not one bit if your ancestors didn't have Native American energies and bloodlines, especially with the hawks. The hawks are very much a sign of, there you go, yes, Lisa, the ancestors. They normally would come in as beings that they are familiarized with, and Native American energies are very much familiarized with hawks, and a group of hawks circling around. Obviously, that would be either the soul family or the energies of. I'm hearing that it's basically a I'm hearing grandmother, grandfather, and for some reason I'm hearing aunt and uncle, and for with that energy, I will tell you that that the hawks also represent wisdom and vision. So it seems as if possibly your clairvoyance will begin to start heightening at this time.
Awesome, thank you. And so Sunny's asking a really interesting question and so relevant, you know, because ancestors, they come with a lot of baggage, their own troubles, right? And they've been through a lot in their lifetime when they were alive. So what do we do to go beyond their limitations, especially feelings of not being enough that runs in the family? How do we keep the best, keep the nonsense out of all of that?
Okay, so basically that is what the candlelight is for. The candlelight is to raise their vibration, to raise their spirit, because the candle basically lights the way. The water is the communication link, which basically allows for it to easily be communicated with. The energy of the pictures is to hone in on exactly the particular ancestor that you want to communicate with. And obviously, if you and Uncle Jack didn't get along, you're not going to put Uncle Jack on your ancestor altar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And say, for instance, if you and if this is just like a this is just a example, but if you had issues with your father touching you when you were small, you wouldn't obviously put him up on your ancestor altar, because of the simple reason that would be detrimental to your energy field and also detrimental to him as well, because obviously and see, in witchcraft or a Wicca, we do not basically come in the we do not understand the energy of heaven or hell. Mm-hmm. All right, we don't believe in that understanding. We believe that it's a vibration of if you were good and you you had or you were pure of heart, obviously you're going to go to a to Summerland, the energy of heaven, or what we call heaven, Summerland, and it's going to be that particular vibration of pure of heart. And like, say, for instance, if he, Uncle Frankie was a murderer, obviously Uncle Frankie's going to hang out with all the murderers. He's not going to necessarily go to hell. He's going to hang out with the murderers. He's going to hang out with, it's always, it's basically how, how those old ladies always say, people of the same feather flock together.
Mm-hmm.
And right. You always stay with the energies of how you were in this lifetime. But that's obviously what the candle's for. The candle is basically to raise the vibration of the spirit, because the spirit work or the spirit needs to continue its evolution on the other side until it's ready to sign up or take the next assignment.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, when the spirit is ready to take the next assignment and is told to incarnate into the next body, it's going to do so. But at the same time, that candlelight is going to open its pathway. And that's also the reason for ancestral work and belief work. Because if you've heard with possible past teachers, as well as also my work, I always go through an ancestral level when I do belief work, because it clears energy of the ancestral energies as well.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you. I didn't know we were going to have so many questions, so this is awesome. There's a question from Karen, and she says she was told that her parents' household sadness and to sage it and paint it. and to convert it into a healing space where she plans to work. Is there anything else that you can recommend for her?
Okay, I hear grit it, and I hear grit it with crystals, preferably quartz crystals and rose quartz, anything with a quartz base. And they also say that that there is ton of or tons of Atlantean and a Lemurian energy there, and basically with that, there is definitely that pyramid type energy going on within that that field of residence, because it seems as if there's it almost looks like there's a capstone above the parent's house. And when there's a capstone, the capstone basically allows for energy to be projected into that, into the point of the capstone. And it's similar to like the point of this. This is the pyramid that I do pyramid healings with. Mm-hmm. And like this is the capstone. And then also, this is a capstone as well. I'll show you the capstone right here. That's a capstone, and energy comes into the point. And I would most definitely say make sure that you have symbolism of pyramids in your parents' household, because that is very much needed to basically one, tranquilize some of the energy, as well as also transform some of the energy. And also remember that fire and smoke transform energy. So, and that doesn't mean go burn down the house. What I mean by that is sage it, do some Palo Santo, maybe even get you some hyssop. Hyssop, however you want to pronounce it. Mm-hmm. It's actually in the Bible, and you can make you a very strong tea out of it, and then you can put it in a squirt bottle and squirt it around the house. And what that does is it makes energy, it totally strips energy. It strips all negative energy and all negative forces. And that is a wonderful way of clearing energy. I don't personally just use sage, because sage is also for wisdom and for communication and whatnot. And obviously, you're not going to whip out sage and for a demon, because that probably going to sit there and laugh at you in your face.
Interesting. What about, Susie wrote in about her house is not selling. She's done everything. She's done the Palo Santo, the sage. She also did the Florida water,
Okay.
Fixed everything, and nothing is working. And she's like, she's so frustrated.
Okay, so have you ever heard of the St. Joseph house seller, the house selling spell work, or?
She did that. She did the St. Joseph
okay.
thing, yeah.
All right, so with that, it could mean that you need to do some road opening work, because your path and his path may be blocked. And what I mean by path is when I say path working or road opening, I always think of a person standing in the center of a cross. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. And what happens is different pathways, they have energetic stumps and mud puddles and trees falling in the road. And you can use a particular herb called Abre Camino, which basically is translated into road opening. Huh. And what the road opening herb does, I like to burn it, or I like to either one, burn it, or two, brew it into a strong tea and spray it around the house, or also you can purchase one of the special offers this evening, and I can obviously help you with selling the house.
That's what I suggest.
Yeah, because there's many different ways of getting the house sold. I would actually have to scan the house to see exactly what is ailing it, because there could be many different things that are ailing it, like portals being left open, stargates being open that are letting negative star energies in. It could be a whole number of things, but we will pinpoint what's going on with it and definitely get down to the nitty gritty.
Awesome. Yes, Susie, are you listening? Yes, so she will definitely contact you somehow.
Perfect. So,
yeah, she's at the desperate stage now. She's like, I'm desperate. I'll do anything. Awesome. Thank you. And so, you know, and then that's the thing. Sometimes we try and do everything and nothing works because there's some piece of information that we're missing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
99% of the time, it's normally something very simple and very small that we are missing. And 9 times out of 10, it's in the back of your head, and something's not allowing for the neuro pathways to get it to the prefrontal cortex or the frontal cortex to allow for it to pop into your parietal lobe for you to actually go down your brainstem for you to remember what what's going on, or this, that, and the other. So I would highly recommend that a session with me.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Thank you. And so Nikki has a question. She said her uncle passed away years ago. They were very close. And now she lives in his house with her aunt, and he left 6 numbers to play, which she recently started doing. Should she continue? And she said, by the way, I've won a few dollars a couple of times.
Okay. So Nikki, and I believe you are up there in the little box with Nikki's iPhone. Hello, sweetheart. And I will tell you, yes, continue to play those numbers. And I do see that that there will be... okay, so what I'm hearing is a male's raspy voice, and it seems as if he either had issues with his throat, or possibly issues with his esophagus as well, that basically is saying continue playing them numbers. Those numbers have meaning to them. Listen to me, child. They will soon bring you money, and bring you money by the springtime.
Awesome. So Nikki is giving you a big thumbs up for all of that.
Yes, most definitely. Awesome. Definitely continue with that.
So Lisa's asking how long is the package available for. So let's talk about the package. So for... And so we just created the package recently, and we just added a bonus to it. Where is it? So if we just click on special offer, if you're on the live page, and if you're not on the live page, you can go to www.alara.at/Brian10, because this is Brian 10. So alara.at/show/Brian10. And so this special offer, like I said, we just added the bonus Starseed DNA upgrade MP3 today. But there's two packages, package A and package B. And so please let me know, Brian, if I'm saying it wrong, but package A includes a 30-minute intuitive reading and a 30-minute remote pyramid healing session.
Yes.
And then package B, and so package A is $97 and includes the bonus. And package B is $197, and that includes a 60-minute intuitive reading, a 30-minute bone reading, a 60-minute remote pyramid healing session, and the bonus Starseed DNA upgrade MP3. Am I right?
Yes, that is perfect. And let me just explain the pyramid healing session. Now, how the pyramid healing session goes is I use these two wonderful pyramids in the session. And the copper pyramid goes on top of the organite pyramid, and then your picture goes underneath this pyramid, and it kind of looks like this. Okay. Mm-hmm. Obviously, after that is done, then there are four quartz crystals that go on each point. And then also, let me go grab this because you are put on top of this. So the pyramid or the picture goes on top of this.
Oh, wow.
Goes on top of this, which the pyramid the picture goes on top of this. And then the pyramid goes on top of this, which I light a candle here, light a candle here, light a candle here, light a candle there. And then these particular energies, this was actually made by monks on Mount Shasta. And then the energy healing, the 30-minute energy healing basically is programmed to do a lot of clearing. It clears DNA, it clears belief systems, clears the brain. And I mean the full brain, the limbic system, the medulla oblongata, the basal ganglia, the Broca and the Wernicke area, the parietal lobe, the temporal lobe, the brain stem. Also realign C1, C2, C3, C4, C5 along the spine, and also realigns all the, or upgrades all the organs in the body, as well as also upgrades anything such as, or removes anything such as nano implants and implants in general, and then also re-upgrades the Starseed DNA. And I guarantee it that all of y'all have Starseed DNA. Mm-hmm. I will most definitely say that the energies are most definitely a plus in in working with these energies in a numerous or a maximum momentous type of way about clearing anything that is no longer serving you, or clearing anything that is ailing you, or removing pain, removing energies that just doesn't need to be there for you to basically move up in spiritual vibration. Mm-hmm. So also with that, the bone reading is done this way. So let me show you how the bone reading is done. So obviously this is my bone reading map. And there's a circle in the middle, and each section is a sector in your life, such as the north sector is your finances and your career, and also your grounding, your groundedness. The south sector is your love and relationships, not only just love relationships, but family relationships, relationships in general. The east sector is your beliefs and your belief systems and your values, and then also your health. Okay, I'm very careful with the health sector because I do not diagnose anything. Okay, because I'm no doctor, but I do have health background underneath my belt, and then also. The West sector is your spirituality and your psychic abilities. So after that, this is what the bones look like, okay? So I'm just gonna show you a couple of the bones. I don't have time to show you all like 33 of them, but they're not necessarily bones, they're curios, okay? So you got the feather bone.
Mm-hmm, yep.
You got the Buddha bone. Then you got the rose bone. And then you got the pumpkin stem. And then you got the seashell. And then you got the nutmeg. You got a dice. You got an owl vertebrae. A real owl vertebrae. And no, I did not kill the owl. You got the bean. And then I'm going to show you one more. And oh, I'm going to actually show you two more. And you got the eye of Horus. Mm-hmm. And then you got the key. Okay. The key is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And basically with that, these basically get shook up in your hand like this, and then I blow your name over the bones, and then I cast the bones over the mat. Anything that falls in the circle gets red. Anything that falls out of the circle does not get red. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I will tell you, there has been folks that, and the bone reading basically goes on as however long it takes for me to read all the bones that fall in the center of the circle. I mean, I've been on the phone with a person for over an hour before, due to all 33 of those bones fell inside that circle.
Right.
So you could be one of them. So just to let you know, the max of a bone reading is basically an hour, and the minimum of a bone reading would be like 20 minutes. And obviously, you know that sessions are by telephone, Skype, or Facebook Messenger, or WhatsApp. Yeah, WhatsApp. I keep my bones in as a little tin, and from there, and obviously, you know that I speak really fast, so everyone knows that you get a lot of information asked, or a lot of information passes along through these readings. And I will tell you also, I have stopped recording my sessions due to the simple fact that no two sessions are alike, but if you want to record it on your own, you are more than welcome to. Mm-hmm. I will suggest a couple of programs to record your session, so that you can get the so you can basically get the best out of them. And also, the reason why I don't record them as well is because I speak to over probably about a good 500 to 750 people every 6 months. So that's a lot of readings to keep a hold of on one computer. Mm-hmm. So and probably that's what's wrong with my computer. I'm working on my husband's computer at this moment. So yeah, but that's a little bit of a lowdown of the packages. And do know that a lot of information gets rewarded in these sessions. And as she said before, in the $97 package, it's a 30-minute pyramid healing session, and in the $197 package, It is a 60-minute, a 60-minute pyramid healing session, and then also a 60-minute reading and a 30-minute bone reading. Mm-hmm. So I would say probably your best deal would be the $197 package.
Okay. And so the $197 package, is it possible to break down the readings into different pieces? So like, you know, let's say I don't want a full hour, you know, can I just do half an hour and then... Yeah.
You are more than welcome to break down that hour reading into two 30-minute readings. I personally like to do 30-minute readings because it's a pain in the tail to stay in a person's energy for an hour. Mm-hmm. And that's just me. Mm-hmm. Because I'm basically one of those psychic mediums that work back to back to back to back. And I speak to at least 8 to 9 clients a day. And yes, folks, this is my full-time job. Actually, it's not even my job. It's my life. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I go to bed with y'all on my mind, and I wake up with y'all on my mind.
So the bone reading is live. That's not remote. It's just the pyramid healing that's remote.
Yes, the only session that is remote is the pyramid healing session. And then what happens with the pyramid healing session is you just need to send me in a picture to my email, which obviously when you purchase the session, you will receive my email. And that's out of respect for Lara's show. So you have to purchase the session to get my email address. Mm-hmm. But after you purchase the package, you just send in a picture, and I will snap a picture of when you go underneath the pyramid and send it to you. And then I will email you back with a short summary of what was removed, how everything looks, yada, 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 and all that good stuff.
Sounds good. Awesome. Thank you. So that, and Brian always over delivers. So in case someone is wondering, always over delivers in the session. So you get a lot of not just value, but a lot of information, a lot of clearing. Very generous. Exactly. He is a very generous guy for sure. So you must be an amazing cleaner for your own energy.
I do cleaning work on my energy every Monday and Friday. And plus on Wednesday evenings, I also take two cleansing baths of hyssop and also rose water. So I am always cleaning my energy and always taking care of myself first, because if I'm unclear, then obviously the information that comes through is going to be unclear. So I have to make sure I'm clear first.
Awesome. So for those of you who are interested in the packages, just take a look at the offer. It's available at alara.at/show/Brian10. That's BRYAN10. So Brian, I think we're going to do some activations too, right?
Yes, I do have an activation for you. And let's see here.
And then if there's anything else that the, you know, ancestors or your team would like to share with us.
Okay, so we're going to do a... Okay, so they're basically going to cram two activations together, okay? We are going to do awakening to your ancestors activation, and then two, we're going to do an upgrade. All right, and this is basically okay. So this is an upgrade of key codes, okay? So, and what I mean by key codes is I hold in my energy field 12 master key codes. And these master key codes are key codes that allow me to basically offer galactic healing, cosmic healing, and earthly healing, as well as also offer DNA activations and whatnot. The awakening to your ancestors. Awakening to your ancestors is basically opening up the channel between you and the ancestors, or you and your ancestors. And remember, it's not just the ancestors that passed away, like your grandmother or grandfather. It also goes further back, all right? It goes further back to your very first soul's existence, all right? So I want everybody to just take a deep breath in. And I do use a drum, which I'm getting ready to draw a ancestor symbol on the drum. And after I draw the ancestor symbol on the drum, I will be channeling light language. You will hear some funky sounding language. And don't worry, it's totally safe. Just make sure that your feet are flat on the floor and that you are in a upright position you can be laying down, but just make sure that your body is straight and that your head is basically straight with your spine. So I want everybody to just take a deep breath in. And I call upon Mother, Father, God, my guides, the angels, the ascended masters, and all the beings of light from on high. As I align with my mighty I Am presence, the highest light of who I am and who I have forever been, to assist me with the following: the awakening of the ancestor connection, and the upgrade to the star-seeded DNA. Lekono orenda hasia no korist do lo kurembe lesar de la koma koti anasht de la surembe reato ko uranda ise emaki de la ko rom uk inda hido remaune arine astur dashkanda hile etakia sto resta sianai. Belestun lo kurin bele andorin naun, bele andorin naurin ja storin daest, verin jihinurin naun, hele andorin naun. Delosto uren doren na kurin beesia, da jan horien da hoc oresta sin. De lea tarun nehe kendolo quarata ist. De storin bahakatai inde hisian. Do hoc horin daurim dilastu. Da resten e kandala atayinu. De le makro de indu astauan ahin. Dele at horin na sarian na ili. Do horin du makannu lo kosia na wara. Dele stur istasia mais. Dej at horin na wara an na hurin bele stiatai. Dele stu urin be eriandai hebele astu. Anu arasta sende hele akiat. De storim behele hasta his, doloqua ramba hikende elias.
Anahish. Laura Mokotela Kosian Namahaya de Liama. Coresta Sandolo Kosiana Cabrian de Estelua Ramakurian Naid. De los Tohura Mahakata Yenestiata Harate Anaki. Doloko son of a riandahish. Doloko stin locomacaya de helium maharastian de helias to good. Dashtan helia to qua. Helios to sevesta sian de helestiamai. Pina catahino o reste siamacai. Velo corian na hurim mereas dihin. Vida standaria stacando o curia. Vedanuas. Pepe na cata is. Urim beleatai idurindawa. Docus tendurem bine chiastas. Paturindewas, Pastuna ewa, Dorindewa, De lambarahido qua, Gasturikendelestun, Daurumbehela qua, Hadaya no horiandua, Zidiniamo kundelwa. Mine che tu urana, vado urande helestu umai, helios besta nahinu mokori, da murindawas, deliandu hur, debana heliandor, dorin, dorin, dorin.
Up and through your root chakra, in through your sacral, up through your solar, in through your heart, up through your throat, into your third eye, down into your well of dreams at the back of the head, up and out the crown chakra, doubling back into the fourth eye where your head was soft when you were a baby, beaming down into the pineal gland, all the way down the Shushumna. Activating the eight cell blueprint at the perineum. And take a deep breath in. And everyone can relax and come back into their body and open their eyes whenever they would like.
Wow, awesome. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay.
Sunny says this was amazing, very energizing, cleansing, and refreshing. Yay. She said her third eye is buzzing. A lot of energy moving.
Yes, very much. Yes, the coughing is actually energy that is, with any energy that is clearing, you have to have a discharge, okay? That's a discharge of energy. And when energy discharges, it's very similar to it's kind of like crying. Crying's a discharge. Mm-hmm. Coughing's a discharge. Peeing's a discharge. Throwing up is a discharge. So, yeah, there's many different types of discharge when energy's clearing, as well as also when energy's coming into the body. That is basically an intake when energy's coming into the body. And an activation is similar to an intake. And why do I go back to a nasal voice? Well, it's basically I don't have no control over my vocal cords when I back out, okay? It's basically when they begin to start speaking, I pop out of the way. And I normally stand on my right side, and I allow for the energy to come in. And then as the energy basically comes through and I get right to the very end, then that's when I'll pop back in, and that's when energy allows. I kind of like hear the very first word and then the very last word, but all through the activation I really don't remember. but that's just the gift of it, is I guess the gift of it is not remembering.
Right. No, but it's, you know, like Lisa saying, that was incredible. She said she could feel cool air swirling in the back of her neck. And spirals are colors and faces that we see something, that we come to knowing the meaning as we integrate more of the energy. It's beautiful what you guys are all willing to receive, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. and the light language was a little bit different this time than before. Bless you.
Yes. The light language, it changes every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And for those that that listen to the full moon activation, I will tell you, you'll see the difference there as well. And for those of you that receive the bonus DNA upgrade, you will receive a different set of codes than these codes that you received in this one. Mm-hmm. So it's basically. it's basically they're different dialects with different beings that come through. And with Nikki, I would suggest probably the second offer so that we could communicate with your uncle a little bit more about that money. Because that right there is what's going to allow you to be more comfortable. Yeah. Sure. But yes, that's, I currently right now, I speak over 225 different starseed dialects, and I don't even know all the dialects that I speak. And as I said before, I don't remember them. I'm just an instrument, basically. And it's almost like It's almost like an orchestra. It's almost like an orchestra. There's the woodwinds. There's the percussions. I don't even know all the instruments, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, the string instruments.
Exactly. And so on and so forth. String.
Awesome. Thank you. No, that was, you know, like we learned so much about Samhain, about the altars, about witchcraft, even, you know, witches and so on. And it was just so lovely. And so Samhain is next week, right?
Yes, Samhain is next week, next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And actually next Wednesday, I am doing a whole big ritual, and I am actually leading circle that night. So I'm very excited about that. And I'm really to the point where it's really driving me to go out of my comfort zone, because my comfort zone is being around people that I know. And I'm doing this ritual with over probably 125 people that I don't know.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Where you live in North Carolina?
It is actually the next town over. Okay. So I'm a little bit on the nervous side, but
nice.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll have fun.
Yeah, I most definitely will. Blessed be to you too, Gabrielle.
Yeah, awesome. All right, so that was awesome. Yeah, it was. I'm so glad we did this, because it was like it was so much information, so much energy, and I even, you know, yeah, there was so much here for all of us. And so please listen to this call again, especially before next Wednesday, if you want, you know, just to get a little bit more of the feeling of Samhain and All Saints Day and all that, all those different days, and see what you would like to do, if there's anything, if you'd like to create an altar, right? And mm-hmm. then take a look at the packages that Brian is offering. So those are available, and they're going to be available at least for a couple of more weeks, right, Brian?
Mm-hmm. They will be available actually as long as you keep them up. So so they are more than welcome to purchase once, twice, three times, mm-hmm. even after 13 participants is the sacred number. Very much so. So most definitely do awesome. Understand that that numbers play a big part in this as well.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful. Thank you. And thank you so much, everyone, for all of your questions. You know, you really brought more of the information out from Brian with your questions too. So thank you. And so until next time, continue to live your life filled with joy, peace, love, abundance, and happiness. Sending you all much love and blessings always. Thank you again so much, Brian. So much fun.
Bye.
Bye. Bye for now, everyone.